We learn that there was a program at the Catlin House in Scranton on Wednesday, February 22, 1984, titled History of the Abingtons, delivered to the Lackawanna Historical Society by its executive director, Reverend William Lewis. Norm Brower transcribed that presentation with the photos Lewis used to illustrate that talk. It was, after all, 3 years before PowerPoint was even released. And Brower published the offering as a monograph in August 1986. Bill Lewis opens his talk with the land and the topography. He says, "So we begin at the highway near Viewmont Mall, the entrance or doorway to the Abingtons, what is known as Leggett's Gap, and go through a path through the mountains out of the Lackawanna Valley into the Abington region. Leggett's Creek flows down through that path." Leggett's Creek was named for James Leggett, who was one of the very early settlers of Providence. "Beyond these hills, there is no coal. There never was. No minerals whatever. But there is very good farming, and now it is a very desirable residential area. Originally, the whole of the Abingtons, like a great deal of Lackawanna County, was all dense wilderness. There were no clearings, no roads, no settlements, nothing in the area. It was densely wooded and populated only by bear, wolves, deer, wildcats, and other wild animals. There was one Indian trail that went up through the Abingtons, but there were never any native villages in the Abingtons. As I often say and like to say, you can go all over the country and come home to northeastern Pennsylvania and find just as beautiful scenery here as you'll find anywhere. The fact is that this land is good farming land, and that's the reason it was first settled. New Englanders going west in the early 1800s looking for new land that was cheap and was good, fertile soil. And certainly the Abingtons was. Now, one of the very first settlers was Deacon William Clark, who came in 1797 to Clark's Green from Plainfield, Connecticut. He had been a soldier in the Revolutionary War and had fought in the Battle of Bunker Hill. He and his family decided to leave eastern Connecticut and come to the Abington region, and he became one of the first settlers. There were four settlers who had come the year before, and following him, a great many settlers came entirely from Rhode Island and Connecticut. Now, Clark not only gave his name to Clark's Green and Clark's Summit, but there are a number of Clarks. Deacon William Clark had a large family. Two of his sons became rather prominent. One of them, Jeremiah Clark, built this house, Slide 7, Jeremiah Clark Tavern, from about 1813 in Clark's Green. It did stand at the top of the hill in Clark's Green. It has since been moved down North Abington Road, and the Assembly of God Church is on that site at the moment. But Jeremiah Clark was one of the sons of Deacon William Clark. Another son was William Clark Jr., who built this beautiful house. Another slide. Now, Clark's Green got its name because originally there was a town green in a town park in the center of the village. This was typical of the greens that you find in New England villages. That is how Clark's Green got its name. Slowly, these various municipalities were taken off, but the whole region still has that name, the Abingtons. But the rest of the area is grouped together with one name called the Abingtons. Now, Elder John Miller lived near Waverly. He was a great benefactor. See Slide 8A, the William Clark House. This house is probably one of the finest architectural examples of a New England colonial style, which was built about 1814. It is one of the oldest houses in the Abingtons. Probably the most prominent settler of all of the New England Yankees who came to Pennsylvania or to the Abingtons was Elder John Miller. That from the print transcription of a talk given by Reverend William Lewis executive director of the Lackawanna Historical Society at the Catlin House on February 22, 1984. As we've heard, Lewis illustrated his presentation with a number of photographs of the earliest homes built in the Abingtons, going on later to show images of church buildings and the Waverly Community House, railroads, and more. But he emphasizes the houses as he develops the history of the original residents who helped shape the region. Now, just over 40 years later, the Lackawanna Historical Society invites us to experience the history of the Abingtons, not just from the outside. The house tour of the Abingtons, hosted by the Society this Sunday, will offer participants the opportunity to enter these homes and discover the bones, we might say, and the interior beauty of homes constructed in the 1800s. Michael Gilmartin, Lackawanna Historical Society Board President, Sarah Piccini, Assistant Director of the Society, and homeowner Pat Atkins paid a visit to the WVIA Benko studio to tell us what's in store.
This year is the second tour of houses and gardens in the Abingtons that's being done by the Lackawanna Historical Society. And the date for the tour this year is Sunday, June 22nd, and we will be open from 10 a.m. in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. And we are visiting at 6 sites this year that are along the route of 407 north in Waverly, starting in Clark's Green and progressing forward out to Fleetville, where we have an interesting property that is currently for sale. It's an old home that dates back to the 1800s that was restored by property owner Susan and Robin Kaufman. And we'll be taking people on the tour of their restored property. And who knows, it may lead to a buyer. That would be terrific.
And Sarah, tell us a little bit about how tours like this fit into the mission of the Historical Society.
Sure. As the Lackawanna Historical Society, we cover the history of the entirety of Lackawanna County. We have an awful lot of information on Scranton. Bigger cities have more information. So it's great to get out of the city. It's great to get out of Scranton, move into the Abingtons, move into some of the earlier communities. And there's earlier history in the Abingtons, and there is in Scranton, the family is dating back to the 1820s. There's high, bigger settlement predating what was in Scranton. So it's great to look at some earlier stories. And we are in a historic house ourselves, so it's great to introduce people to other historic houses. We have a few properties, old farmhouses, old estates that do date back to the 1840s and 50s. The property in Fleetville, there's one in Waverly, and one in North Abington Township as well that all date back to the 1840s and 50s. So it's great to tour these older properties.
What was going on in that region in the 1800s then? What kind of activity? Farming?
It was primarily farming. There were a number of larger farms at the time. There was the Philadelphia and Great Bend Turnpike went through the Abingtons. It was built in the early 1820s. The linking, you know, down below what would become Scranton, going all the way out into New York State. There were stagecoach stops along the way in the Abingtons, taverns. As you know, you're traveling and you drink on the way. So there's that. And then there's the small industry that supports farm communities. There were a number of smaller post offices, blacksmith shops, general stores, some of the small things that you need to create a community in a village. A number of smaller communities that sort of all linked together along the Philadelphia and Great Bend Turnpike and other smaller turnpikes that connected through the area.
Not necessarily for this tour, but there is a history in the Abingtons of the Underground Railroad, so it's a very historic area.
Yes, that is very true.
We're lucky to have homeowner Pat Atkins with us, a wonderful supporter of the arts and history and everything, a community-minded person in every way, Pat, you are. Sarah, Pat's house is on the tour, so help us understand what we're going to experience.
Yeah, we're very excited to have Pat's house on the tour. Today, it's adjacent to Glen Oak Country Club, but it originally faced the Abington and Waterford Turnpike. Mm-hmm. So you're on one of those original early thoroughfares.
Absolutely.
How do you feel being part of the history of the Abingtons?
I'm thrilled to be part of the history. It was originally, you know, a lot of farmland, and our house was part of a farm. We had a huge barn on the property, and in 1924, they lifted that barn up and moved it about 500 yards onto what is now the Glen Oak Country Club. At the same time, we lifted up our house that was facing the turnpike at that time, and it was turned 90 degrees to face the now road, which is Oakford Road. How they had the technology in that time, I don't know, but they did. And it really is a very pretty old farmhouse that's gone through many iterations.
Yes, and you've done a wonderful job to preserve it and maintain it and make it something that's bright and cheery and welcoming. Mm-hmm. So we're thrilled to be able to show it to people of what it was and what it is now and how it will continue.
And I'm thrilled to be part of the tour.
When we approach your house, Pat, will it be wooden outside?
Oh, yeah. Yeah? It's a clapboard, wooden clapboard house. It was built in 1842. So the original basement was all stone and mud. So it was very, very interesting. In 2008, we put an addition on the house, and that included a basement, a real, honest-to-God basement that was dry and you could store things in. So, I mean, the property is expansive. We have a lovely pond that we resurrected about 30 years ago, and outside of the back door, we have a patio, and beyond the patio, we have a lovely koi pond. We have 100 comets and probably 25 koi, and it really is lovely and soothing and much fun.
Bordered at all by Japanese iris or anything like that?
We have beautiful gardens just that go around the koi pond. And I have a perennial garden that is beyond that, that is just bordering on where that dip is, where the barn used to be.
And with you here, we'd have to ask, was there a summer kitchen?
You know, I really don't know. We expanded the kitchen. I mean, it was a little kitchen, but we expanded that early on. We bought it in 1973, and we put in a kitchen, and a real one.
Real kitchen, real basement, you're on a roll.
Yeah.
And are there other properties with gardens as Pat just described?
There are, yes. I think Pat wins the prize for having the oldest house on our tour. Others are close, but there are. There's a smaller property near Waverly, near the Waverly Elementary School. Sally Blackledge is a gardener herself. Her house is full of houseplants, gardens outside. She enters flowers in the Electric City Flower Show at the Hartford Fair as well. So you may have seen some of her pieces around town before. There's another property along Fairview Road that's managed by Carriage Barn Custom Builders that is 20-some acres of gardens, meadows and gardens, with architectural salvage used as almost sculpture in the garden. It's wild. You just keep walking and like, what one of those and one of those and one of those. So we hope people will get a lot of ideas for their own yards, their own gardens. Finally, if it ever stops raining, you'll be able to go out and work in your yard. So if you need ideas for what else to plant, we hope our homeowners will have a lot of good ideas for you. We do try and list as many plants as we can in the program book so you know what you're looking at. We have volunteers from the Laurel Garden Club who'll be joining us. So hopefully they'll be able to, you know, give recommendations and their own input as people are going around.
Is there any sense that any architects came into play at some point?
We did. We added in this morning in the program book a profile of the architect George M.D. Lewis. He grew up in Scranton and was a partner with Edward Davis starting in the 1920s. His first commission was actually the Waverly Community House. And he turns up a lot. I think, Pat, he was the one who moved your house.
He moved the house and he moved the barn.
So I think he ends up figuring in almost every house that we had in some connection. So we gave him his own page in the program book. He pops up a lot. He did a lot of residential properties in Waverly as well.
You've been with the Lackawanna Historical Society for so long, Michael. What do you hear during or after these tours? What makes it such a perennial favorite?
I think people are very happy to have an opportunity to take a closer look at sites that they have driven by or are familiar with because it's on their route to work or to the grocery store, that kind of thing. But to be actually allowed to go inside and see what color they painted the living room walls, what's the carpeting like in the hallway to get you to the kitchen, what artwork do these people like, what's their taste in decorating, do they like sculpture, are they into indoor plants, do they like artwork, do they create any art of their own? So it's interesting in that way when you actually get inside to visit, because I think it appeals to people's nosy quality and curiosity.
That's the whole point. I'm a woman, and I want to see how other people live. I want to see their decorating, what they like, and, you know, how different it is from mine.
Has your house been on a tour before?
Oh, yeah. So yeah, I've been on the prep tour a couple of times, and comm tour, yep. Yeah, the community house does a Christmas tour. So I've done that a couple of times, too. I love showing my house. I think it's lovely. I love it, and I hope other people will, too.
So you're ready for the question?
Yes.
You won't be surprised by anything?
No, absolutely. I'm happy to have everybody there.
It's exactly. Great when people have a unique perspective, a unique decorating style that they want to show off. We've done this tour for years in the Hill section in Scranton before, and we inspired a lot of renovations. People repaint to get ready for the tour and bought new porch furniture, and, you know, so we've inspired a lot of construction ourselves.
Tell us about the format of the tour, Michael. It's a self-guided tour.
Yes, that is our procedure. If you buy a pre-sale ticket for the house tour this year, you will be able to redeem that ticket at the Waverly Community House the day of the tour, and you will exchange it for a tour guide book. The tour guide book is what carries you through the tour. It contains descriptive information about each site, and it also contains a map to help you travel the route, because you will be self-driven on the tour as before. And if you purchase a ticket the day of the event, which many people will do, you can make that purchase directly at the community house. There'll be a table outside so that it's very convenient, and then you can go on the tour.
Is there a website or things like that that we can learn about?
You can find out about the house tour by going online to the Lackawanna Historical Society website, which is lackawannahistory.org. And it's an opportunity to learn about the Historical Society as well. But the house tour that's coming up June 22nd is also part of the website now.
And Sarah, what else is on that rich website? You would certainly encourage us to become members, right?
Yes, yes. The Historical Society has a membership platform. It allows you access to our research library. There's a discount in a bookstore. We have certain members-only events throughout the years. But if you're looking on our website, if you're doing genealogy, if you're looking for any kind of local history resource, we also have a number of finding aids on our website listing different parts of our collection. Our library itself is searchable through the Lackawanna County Library System, but we have separate inventories for maps, for photographs, for scrapbooks that we have on music history in Scranton. There's a number of different things you could find, whatever your particular research rabbit hole is. We could find something for you, I'm sure.
Is there anything happening that we should look ahead to after the tour? Is there anything coming up?
If you're still looking for tours in Scranton, in the summer, throughout the summer, we do guided architectural walking tours downtown. They're every other Saturday in the summer. The schedule, again, is on our website or our Facebook page. They're free tours, usually about an hour. Learn about different sections of the downtown.
Closing observations, Michael.
Closing observations. I think talking about the future of the house tour is what led us to the Abingtons. We are the Lackawanna Historical Society, the Lackawanna County, which is a big county. And while we did the tour, as Sarah said, originally in the Hill section of Scranton, we decided to start to venture out into other areas in Lackawanna County, which led us to the Abingtons. And we are beginning to do some thinking for the future of taking the tour to Carbondale, which is a very historic part of Lackawanna County. And really, when you get into history, that's where the beginnings of the coal industry and railroad, which drove the development of Lackawanna County once it was formed, further into the future. So that's something that I think our friend, the current mayor, Michelle Bannon in Carbondale, would love to see happen. And then we'll, you know, consider other areas as well, in addition to coming back to the Abingtons again.
Michael Gilmartin, Lackawanna Historical Society Board President, Sarah Piccini, Assistant Director of the Society, and Pat Atkins, whose home is on this year's tour. They were all speaking about the house tour of the Abingtons, hosted by the Lackawanna Historical Society, this Sunday, June 22nd, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It is a self-guided tour, and the starting point is the Waverly Community House at 1115 North Abington Road in Waverly. The website for the Historical Society, lackawannahistory.org, lackawannahistory.org.
a house tour of the Abingtons, hosted by the Lackawanna Historical Society, this Sunday, June 22nd, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Start at the Waverly Community House, 1115 North Abington Road in Waverly. You can purchase tickets in advance or on the day, and it is a self-guided tour. For more information, LackawannaHistory.org.